tonight's reading is from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. That's page 837 in the church Bibles. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes who were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this."
Thank you very much, Bethan, for reading for us. I'm just going to clear some of the stuff off this lectern here. Steve, can I give you some of these bits and bobs? There's quite a lot on here right now. There you go. Thanks, Steve. Please do keep your Bible open on page 837. That's going to be a great help for you and a great help for me as we get into this bit of the Bible. So I want you to imagine, just as we start, I want you to imagine you're at home and that somebody accidentally drops a plate in the kitchen and that plate shatters everywhere. Well, one way to respond is to say, "Well, that plate's ruined. Let's chuck it away." And maybe that's fair, because plates are replaceable. But imagine if we treated people that way. Imagine living in a society which treats people like that. Someone makes a mistake, says something wrong, or does something they shouldn't have. But instead of helping them grow, we decide they're finished, their value is gone, and we sweep them away like broken pieces. Might sound familiar to you. I want to say something controversial now, and perhaps you want to pick up this on this in the Q&A at the end, but this is a controversial thing I want to say, and it's this. Although most people in our country have moved on from Christianity, we all still hold on to some aspects of that old religion. I mean, we still hold on to the Christian idea of sin. We might not use that exact word to describe it, but we do know in our hearts that there are some things which are a really big deal. Some things that can't be excused. Some things that are simply not acceptable. Some things that deserve justice. We hold on to the idea of sin, but we've forgotten the Christian idea of forgiveness. I mean, when was the last time when someone said sorry to you that you actually said, "I forgive you" back? We don't tend to say that, do we? We tend to say something like, "Oh, it's okay," or "Not a problem." But the reality is that sometimes it's not okay. And sometimes what's happened is a big problem. You see, I think we've forgotten about forgiveness. But what about when it's you that's messed up? What about when it's you that said something that you shouldn't have? What about when it's you that's made that mistake? Now, look, for most of us, I don't think the kind of mistakes that we make will make the national news. The rest of the country won't really care. But we all do things, don't we, that we shouldn't have done. And when that happens, being unforgiven is not a pleasant place to be. Being treated like a problem or a thing to be pushed away is not a pleasant place to be. One of the books of the Bible is a collection of poems called the Psalms. And one of the Psalms talks about being unforgiven as being like having bones that are wasting away. Like having an internal groaning all day long. Like having our strength dried up by the summer heat. And maybe you're here this evening and that's how you feel right now. Perhaps you look back over the past week or month or year, and perhaps there's a specific relationship or friendship or situation where you've done something wrong and you've not been forgiven. Well, guys, for all of us, here's the wonderful news. Whilst our world seeks revenge, whilst our world shuts people down, silences them, and shuns them when they make mistakes, the God of Christianity does something radically different. He offers forgiveness and he offers a free, fresh start. We prayed about it in the Lord's Prayer earlier on. We said, "Forgive us our sins." That's a really bold thing to do to God. We said, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive others." And in our Bible passage today, we're going to see one example of that kind of forgiveness, the forgiveness that we're looking for. So do open your Bible if you've closed it, open your app if you've closed that. We're in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, page 837. And we're going to see three things in this story. And the first thing is this: it's unexpected forgiveness. And it's down there in chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. We heard the story read out earlier on, but I'll summarize it now. Jesus he's in a building and it's absolutely packed. There was no room in this building and he was preaching to them. Jesus, by this point in Mark's gospel, had gained a reputation for being not just a great teacher, but also a miraculous healer. And so a group of people come up with a plan. These four guys, they've got a friend who's paralyzed. He's not been able to use his arms or legs or move by himself for a significant amount of time. He can only lie there all day on a mat. And so his friends think to themselves, "How can we help our mate?" They think to themselves and say, let's take him to Jesus, and perhaps Jesus can heal him. But how on earth are they going to get into the room? The room is completely packed. So they, standing outside of the building, they look up and they see that they can get up onto the roof and they can open up somehow the roof and somehow let down their paralyzed friend on his mat in front of Jesus. Now, I'm going to press pause here for a second. And I want you to imagine that you are in that room. Imagine Jesus is standing here at the pulpit and an opening appears up here. And then a man gets lowered down in front of Jesus and he hits the floor there, very gently lifted down, but he reaches the bottom. All the eyes are on Jesus. What do you expect he's going to do? Just think about that for a second. What do you think Jesus would do next? We'll have a look down there and you'll see Jesus says in verse 5, "Son, you are healed." That's not what he says. He doesn't say that. Have a look down at verse 5 and you'll see what actually happens is quite a shock. Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Why does he do that? Well, I want to say to you this evening that it's because he's dealing with the man's most fundamental problem. And his most fundamental problem is this. It's not that he can't move. It's that he needs forgiveness from God. Some of you guys will be homeowners, and maybe this situation that I'm about to describe is relevant for you. Imagine this. Imagine in your house you have a damp problem. Okay, the paint's starting to peel away and bubble on the walls in your kitchen. It's not necessarily if you own a house. If you live in a house in Sheffield, this is going to happen to you at some point. Water will get in. The paint will start to bubble and peel off. And what do you do at that point? You could slap some paint on it and cover up the damage, but it's not really dealing with the issue. No, you need to figure out where the damp's coming from. And you need to deal with that fundamental problem. This man here in this story, with all his various visible problems, has an even deeper problem. It's that he needs forgiveness from God. Now, at this point, I just need to clarify that this man's physical problems were not a consequence of any one specific sin that he'd done. That's not the teaching of the Bible. God doesn't work like that. And so if you're here this evening and you're suffering somehow, I want you to hear loud and clear that that is not because God is punishing you for something you've done. That's not the way that God works. But if this man's biggest problem is his sin, then that's true for all of us here in this room. Now, if we're honest, we have all lived in ways that ignore God. We've made ourselves little gods in our own lives. We all do things that we shouldn't do, and we don't always do the things that we should do. Evil's not just out there in our world. It's in our hearts as well. The line between good and evil runs through each and every one of our hearts. And so we all need forgiveness. Forgiveness which Jesus offers. The second thing that we see in our passage is down there in verses 6 to 12. And we see the one who deals with our guilt. Have a look down at your Bible again. Have a look at verse 7. And you'll see that the religious people that were in that building spotted what was going on. They rightly ask a question in verse 7. Do you see it down there? They say, who can forgive sins but God alone? Sins are offences against God. And only the one who's offended against can forgive. It's a bit like a man on the street out there punching another man and then me running out there and saying, I forgive you. If I did that, that would be a bit weird, and both of them would be thinking, who are you, and why are you telling me that I'm forgiven? No, it's only the one that is punched that can forgive the one that's punched them. And so with sin, it's only God that can forgive sins. The religious rulers there, they got it right. And so just as an aside, if you're ever thinking to yourself that Jesus never claims to be God, well, he does right here. But Jesus asks them a question back. Have a look down at verse 9. The question that Jesus asks them is this. He says, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? How would you answer that question? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or is it easier to say to someone, rise, take up your bed and walk? How would you answer that question? Well, of course, it is far easier to say that someone's sins are forgiven. Because how on earth can you actually tell whether they are really forgiven or not? There's no visible change. But when you say that you are going to heal someone, you better back that up by doing it, because that's a pretty visible change that's about to happen. So Jesus does the more difficult thing. He raises and heals this man in order to prove that he can do the thing which seems easier. In order to prove he can forgive sins, he heals the paralyzed man. And understandably, everyone is astonished. But the story does not stop there. And the third thing that we're going to see is the cost of forgiveness. Because if you've ever had to forgive someone of something personal and painful, you'll know that it is very difficult. It's been said before that sorry is the hardest word. I disagree. I forgive you is far harder to say. Because you have to pay for that forgiveness. You have to pay with your emotions. You pay by releasing the cost of the offense that's been done against you. And that phrase, I forgive you, becomes harder the more serious the offense is. And here's the thing, guys. When it's against God, it's deeply serious. Let's take a step back for a second. In the eyes of the law, animal cruelty is considered a less serious offence in the eyes of the law than cruelty against another human. Why is that? Have you ever thought about that? Why is that? It's because in the eyes of the law, humans have greater value than animals. Well, if God exists, if the God of the Bible exists, then by definition, he is the highest, most perfect, most holy, and most valuable one in existence. And so an offense against this perfect, infinitely holy God requires a correspondingly serious punishment. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin are death. That is the justice that our sins deserve. And look, that's a controversial statement, I know. Perhaps you want to ask a question about that. But I want you to remember this. Within Christianity, there is a concept of sin, but there is also a concept of forgiveness. Wonderfully, the Bible tells us in a letter that an early Christian leader wrote to the church in Rome, and Andrew, I wonder if we could put it on the screen. The Bible tells us this, that one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. Here's the key bit. But God shows us his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So do you remember that question that Jesus asked? He asked, which is easier, to forgive sins or to heal? And of course, in one sense, as we saw, it is more difficult to heal. But in another sense, it's far harder to forgive sins because it cost Jesus his life. That's what happened the very first Easter. Jesus was crucified. He gave up his life that we might be forgiven. Not that our sins might be told no problem or it's okay, but that justice might be truly served on all of our wrongdoing. And in a society that crucifies those who make mistakes, that is deeply attractive. Because we have a God who takes justice seriously. And that's really good news if you've ever been sinned against. We have a God who cares and a God who sees what's happened to you. But we also have a God who loves, a God who forgives. And in Jesus Christ, we have a God who was crucified himself for our sins and for our mistakes that we might not be. So as we draw to a close, can I ask you, what do you make of all that? That's the question that this passage asks us. We never saw anything like this. That's what the crowd said. What do you make of it? Well, perhaps you're here this evening and you've got questions. That's great. As Steve said, we've got a moment, time coming up very soon for Q&A. And perhaps you want to put your difficult question, your question that's stuck in your mind right now, perhaps you want to put it in Slido and ask us. We've got a pile over here and over there of free Bibles that perhaps you would like to take away one of. It's a chance for you. If you're going to read it, please do take one. Give it a read and see who this Jesus is that dies that we might be forgiven. But perhaps you found the forgiveness you're looking for. Perhaps right now, your heart is saying, this is what I've been looking for. Well, we're going to take a moment of quiet in a moment. But perhaps during that moment of quiet, perhaps you'd like to say, Jesus, please forgive me. We're going to take a moment of quiet right now. Then I'm going to close with a prayer. But just a moment of quiet. What do you feel like the Lord's saying to you? And what do you need to say back to him? Dear Father, we thank you so much that you are a God who takes justice seriously. We thank you that you see all that happens against us. You see all that we do, And we thank you that you're a God who loves and forgives. And we thank you as well, most of all, for the Lord Jesus, who is the one who was crucified for our sins, that we might be forgiven, that we might be made right with you. Father, I just want to pray for all those perhaps who have prayed that prayer saying, Lord Jesus, please forgive me right now. Would you have heard their prayers and would you reassure them that they stand right before you right now? And for all of us, whether we are new Christians or Christians for a long time, we pray that you would help us to forgive others just as we have been forgiven. So we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Steve, over to you.